E2.
Number 7B.
So can you see, as symbols, just looking with the two eyes at this matrix, we can see in the world as signs, the same symbols, namely life, truth and love, as we have in Christianity as signs. There we have the same symbol, life, truth and love, but by golly, they mean something completely different. Because life, truth and love, the moment they are in another category, they mean something else. So in the category of the word, they mean that God is life, truth and love. And in the category of Christianity, they mean that every idea is of the nature of life, truth and love. And this is a great difference. It's a great difference if I feel I'm life, truth and love, or if I think God is life, truth and love. It's a hell of a difference. Huh? Is that swearing or not? It doesn't matter to me. As long as you're not choked. But it is a difference. And it's that difference which makes the difference between a religionist and a scientist. The religionist always looks up to God and says, God is life, truth and love. And because he stalls there, he never is the idea of life, truth and love. But if we see the interrelationship and the order of the categories, we certainly don't stall at the word. Is that the right term to stall when you halt? Yes? Can you say stall or park? Huh? Stall? Yeah? At the word. But where thought flows to the Christ and flows to Christianity until one sees one is the very expression, the very presence of life, truth and love. Yeah. Let's quickly take the epitomes that John Dolly used for those four phases. He called Christianity as the word. He called reflection. And if you remember or if you have listened to how I explained it, you could see it very easily, because it is establishing the idea at the point of complete reflection through principle, mind, soul, spirit. It was saying, now what on earth is an idea? And you would say, the idea is a reflection of God. And through those four synonymous terms, you arrive at the form of that perfect reflection. When we have that reflection and see it operate as the Christ, then we experience really Christianity as the Christ, namely reality. It's the reality of the universe of idea ever going on. Whereas if we come to Christianity as Christianity, then we have seen what it means is to show the whole realm of being in its absolute perfection and completion, the realm of ideas of mind, soul and spirit, bringing out always life, truth and love, therefore filling all space. They called it space. Just as before, on that level, on that horizontal, we had line, plane, and now space, the spatial sense of being, that's the universe, including man. Imagine if we would go deeper into it, you would see how the definition of man in the glossary would fit right into this thing to show that man is actually that very thing. And the last one, Christianity as science, would show, because it is showing the life, truth and love of every idea, and not just life, truth and love as God, would show us the very presence of the Godhead in the universe, not up in heaven. That would not be omnipresence if it would be just up in the in heaven, in the world, but if it's translated right down to the realm of ideas and to the spatial sense of being, then it becomes omnipresence. And so he called it omnipresence. Again, taking that on the horizontal, the word was omnipotence, omniscience in the Christ, and now omnipresence. And in this way, he could show that. Yes, I can quickly take the science order, because that doesn't take so much time, because it's more or less self-explanatory. Again, we can take on the top of our page, Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, and under Science have our candlestick order, which is soul and life, and then spirit and truth, then mind and love, and fourth principle. And so we come back to where John Dawley started with his whole reasoning. Namely, it was at that point where he didn't find in the textbook a science order, until he could see that the science order is actually the same as the word order, but looked at instead of linearly from the middle, structurally, in the middle of principle, principle running right through it, and then having those three arms, so making total four concepts. And he could easily see at that point that the seven were turned into four, namely that the word would be soul and life, namely stating what? That the word shows that the identities of being are always intact, that our tools, that the creative tools with which we work in a science are actually the whole word, all the ideas of the seven synonymous terms, the numerals of infinity. I went too quickly, too fast. So just seeing first this, that the word would have to state our tools, the creative tools with which to work. The Christ would be the operation of with that tools, and bringing the identities of being constantly through spirit in a different reflection, spirit bringing out with every reflection a new form, truth. And Christianity would show the outcome of that infinite, ever-changing restructuring, namely that every situation, every idea, mind, every problem, every manifestation, mind, has its definite place within the whole plan of love. As if she would say, every stone has its right place within the whole mosaic. It can't be put somewhere else. All resting really on science, namely on the divine infinite principle. We have discussed this many times in the other classes which are taped and which are fundamental to this week's work, so I don't have to go into it in any further detail. I must build on the fact that you know really the meaning of this science order. It means that the word as science, that science as the word, is really meaning what? The numerals of infinity. See, the 7 days of creation, the numerals of infinity, meaning actually all the ideas of the seven synonymous terms are our creative tools with which to work. That's our starting point. They are our elements. Then signs as the Christ, say, now I can take these identities, these numerals of infinity, and I can blend them infinitely. There is a calculus, and so Mr. Dawley called it calculus. There is a calculus which tells me how to combine those ideas of the seven synonymous terms always in a different way. That spirit, when I combine them, when I blend them, reflect them, always in a different way, that spirit. But every time I do that, I get a new result. If I blend the 7 with the 4, I get something else in arithmetic. And if I blend the 11 with the 13, see, every time I use the numerals of infinity in another combination, that spirit, I get a new result, a new form, truth. And if I take Christianity, science as Christianity, the outcome of it is that every one of those calculations, every experience in our life, has its definite value within the whole plane of our life. Every idea, mind, you see, has its definite place within the whole spiritual realm. Mr. Dawley called it, according to Mrs. Eddy's terminology, the fourth dimension. It's the fourth dimension there where everything that happens within the infinite dimensional being has its purpose, has its place, has its office, so that no wrong calculation is ever going on. Mind and love. And finally, science as science tells us what? That it is the one principle ever operative. And so Mr. Dawley called it omni-action, omni-action. Again, bringing the horizontal to its fulfillment, the horizontal down on the level of the horizontal science is omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and now omni-action. Yes, well, that's the way he was thinking out that matrix, and tomorrow we will go on and put all these findings together into a matrix. So we have up to this point considered how in Mr. Dawley's mind the interaction of those two categories were working, namely the synonymous terms per se, and then intertwined into it the operative sense. And I think it is just these simple facts that really should be pondered and pondered and pondered. It isn't so much now, you see, that you should get in any way worried or uneasy about those synonymous terms that are in the various boxes. Don't learn them by heart. Just do the thing that the scientist does. He's always simple. You know, I say that so often because I want really to bring that home, that the science of being is very simple. It's our human mind that works very, very complicated. That's the nature of the human mind, that it is absolutely complicated and mixed up because it has no true simple basis. It does not know where to start and where to end and how to reason from a wrong start to a wrong end. And all what we have to do is to culture ourselves in the new system of reference, in those three big new categories, and always go over those same categories. And they have within themselves the creative ability, the creative power to bring forth just that what is adapted to our consciousness. So don't try, so to say, from a standpoint outside the chart to look at the chart and try to get it. Just be that chart. Just be those two categories and stick to the tone and take the quiet time to think about it and not deviate from it. Just stick to it. And naturally you will see that as you do that, all sorts of concepts and illusions and suggestions and arguments will come in. Suddenly you think, oh, I think I have to let the dog in. Oh, yes, I have something in the kitchen. You see, that's what is so difficult. Just to get so quiet within oneself, you see, that finally you have the rest and peace just to go along the line of what is mind, what is spirit, what is soul. And little by little, as you start that, something within oneself crystallizes, becomes definite, and says, well, this is really the word in its most fundamental, basic, creative aspect. And you have one, the word as the word. You begin to see, without starting with mind and with spirit and with soul, I haven't started. I can start with the one mind, but if that one mind is actually not also spirit and therefore the only mind and not my mind, small m, not a human mind, not a erroneous mind, but the divine mind, and that is spirit, therefore pervading all, and seeing that that is soul, and soul meaning that this is the only unchangeable basis on which to rest, then you feel, I have found my starting point. So, in that way, all what you have to do is to find that quiet time. See, we have to learn something sometimes from other religions, like those who meditate. In Christian Science, perhaps one has perhaps not trained oneself too much in being quiet within oneself and pray, as we would call it. We don't call it meditate, we pray, but we could also just say to be quiet within oneself and concentrate and ponder on those fundamental categories. The word says to us, I am the creative word. I am the Logos. And by the word, everything has been made that was made. Trust that. Trust that. Don't think that now from the outside we have to make something creative. The word itself, that word order itself, when we are one with it, has a creative ability. So instead of meditating on anything like the meditation school would teach you, to meditate on a verse in the Bible, to meditate on a mantra, just on something, perhaps just on a tone or a hum or something like that, we naturally have the great advantage that we can meditate on the Logos, the Word of God, because we know it, the others don't know it. And that Logos is the creative Logos. And therefore, contemplating, going over that in a gentle way, in a loving way, in a way that you stand in awe before the bigness of those synonymous terms, that attitude of those synonymous terms have within themselves a terrific power. And therefore, we don't need to read a lot of books. Actually, once one has found out those great categories, we can close the books and think about those categories. See, that's what Mrs. Eddy tried to teach in Christ and Christmas, that first she opened in those pictures the book, the Bible, and then the textbook is open, and then little by little those books are closed until finally all the books are closed. And you are just in the infinite awareness of your true being. So the creative word is creative. One doesn't have to make it creative. And this is a point I really would bring home, because You know, there has been a tendency to be a terrific student, what we call it, meaning that he studies from morning to night. And I have seen the tragedy of that, the tragedy of being so taken up by being outside of a book and looking at the book and reading the book and studying the book forward and backward and then from the middle backward and from the middle forward and any way possible shape and form, instead of just being quiet, really quiet within oneself, but not to just think about single terms and verses like the meditation school asks you to do, but to concentrate and meditate, so to say, on those synonymous terms, on those capitalized terms. Then you will see that little by little things will gel in a natural way. And I also showed you yesterday that Mrs. Eddy needed years and years and years, 20 years, 30 years, 50, 40 years, until things would gel and become so definite that it would really be crystal clear. Now, a student of this science must also have that attitude. Don't get worried because you don't see things on the first day. Because when I present it, you can't just at the very moment say, well, that's crystal clear. Be patient. It naturally needs the motherhood sense within us. That motherhood sense that says, I can nurture an idea and be gentle about it, full of expectancy. I can anticipate the promise, joy, and I have to have that motherhood quality so that the birth goes on in a natural way.